Psalm 124, starting at verse 1. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. When their anger was kindled against us, then the flood would have swept us away, the torrent would have gone over us, then over us would have gone the raging waters. Blessed be the Lord, who has not given us as prey to their teeth. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. So far, God's word, as we have his word before us, and I'd encourage you to keep his word open and near to you as we work our way through this passage, but let's bring it before him in prayer. Please pray with me. What a privilege it is, Heavenly Father, to freely have your word before us. Many throughout the world, as they come before you today, need to do so in secret. In some countries, even owning a Bible or holding a Bible is a crime that results in punishment in prison. So we thank you for the freedom that we have this morning. We thank you for your word before us, and we pray that you would open our hearts and minds to hear what you have to say to us this morning. Speak, Lord, for your people are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. It was a cold, dark April night. The ship sailed peacefully through the sea. It was dark because there was no moon that night. Captain Edward John Smith, had just retired to his quarters. There were warnings that icebergs were out there, at least 30 warnings, but he still went to bed and gave orders for the ship to sail full steam ahead. And then at 11:40 p.m., one of the watchers posted on the front of the boat called out an alarm. He saw an iceberg. The order was given to the one on the bridge to start to turn the ship, but it was too late. And just a couple of minutes after 11:40 p.m., the HMS Titanic hit an iceberg. It only took 2 hours for the ship to sink to the ocean floor. Out of the 2,200 people on board, only 700 people survived. You see, the Titanic was unsinkable. And the ship's builders were so confident in the nature of this boat that they hadn't even equipped it with enough lifeboats for every single person on board. It was a testimony of man's brilliance, man's greatness, man's skill in engineering, but also man's pride. Even with everyone in a lifeboat, only half of the people would have survived. You see, Captain Smith himself had once famously said, "Even God can't sink the Titanic." Well, God did. In his providence, in his plan, he allowed the Titanic to sink. A testimony to human greatness, but also a testimony to human pride. God can't sink the Titanic. And brothers and sisters, that is so many people in this world today. We can manage without God. We don't need him. We don't need a savior. But even in our own lives, we try and do it on our own. We think we can face our struggles on our own without help. We think we don't need God in our lives. Yes, we can come to church on a Sunday and then the rest of the week is all to ourselves. But the psalmist, King David, in our psalm this morning knew better. And he asked the question, what if? What if God was not on our side? And as we come to the end of 2021, a year that has been full of many challenges for many of us, a year that, looking forward, that a year that will also be full of challenges, it is good for us to stop and reflect and think about where our help comes from. Our theme this morning is that we can only survive when God is on our side. We can only survive when God is on our side. And this morning we're going to tackle our passage a little bit differently, which is why I encourage you to have your Bibles open before you. This psalm is what is called a praise sandwich. That's not a theological term, that's a term that I'm using here. It's a psalm that has right in the middle, in the center, the main idea of the psalm. We'll come to that as our last point. But we're going to work our way from the outsides and work our way in. And you'll see that as we go along. Our first point this morning then is presence. Three P's to help you remember. Presence. And here we're looking at verses 1 and 2 and verse 8. The psalmist here, King David, is expressing his confidence. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side, let Israel now say. If it had not been the Lord who was on our side. And then in verse 8, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. He knows that the Lord is with him. Now that word Lord itself is also important. If you look in your Bibles, you'll see, if it's like mine, you'll see a capital L and three small capital letters, O-R-D. It's a special name for God. It's a name that means that God was always there, God always is and always will be. But it's also a name that describes a God who wants to be in relationship with his people, a covenant God. A God who looks after his people, who cares for his people. And so using that name for those hearing the psalm in Israel, they would have known, yes, he's speaking about the God who loves us, who cares for us, who's involved with us. A God who made us. In verse 8, we have our helpers in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. But that word made is not a once-off thing. It's really a continuous idea. Really, we could translate this and translate it literally. Our helpers in the name of the Lord who continues to make, who is creating heaven and earth. You see, God hasn't just set up the earth and left it on its own. No, he continues to hold everything together. He continues to control everything. Nothing escapes his view. Nothing gets missed on his watch. With God on our side, we can't lose. I'm sure you're the same as me and you used to play games at school when you were younger or teen games when you get together with friends. And there was one team member that you always wanted to have on your side. Because when you picked that person, you knew that you were always going to win the game. Well, brothers and sisters, God is that person. If he is on our side, we cannot lose. We are safe. With God on our side, nothing can destroy us. The story is told about a little girl on a ship in a storm. Another ship, not the Titanic. And she's sitting there with her mother and the ship is going to and fro. It's like one of those journeys on the Inter-Islander where the plates are falling off the shelves and people are heading there off to the bathroom because they're getting sick and everything's moving around. And sitting in the middle of this is a girl and her mother, a young girl. And this girl looks up to her mother and says, "Mummy, is Daddy driving the ship?" You see, her daddy was a ship's captain. And her mother said to her, "Yes, darling, Daddy is driving the ship." And this little girl says, "Then we're going to be fine." Brothers and sisters, because God is driving the ship, we are going to be fine. The psalmist has confidence that it is God that helps him in his trouble. He is with him, and God will always be near to him. In another psalm, David says this, Psalm 139, verse 7, he says this, "Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. There is nowhere we can go that God is not with us. But what about if you don't feel that? What if you don't feel God near you? Does the fact that God is on our side mean that we're not going to face any trouble, we're not going to have struggles? No, it doesn't mean that. The people of Israel were going through a time of trouble. We'll speak about that shortly. If God is on your side, it doesn't mean that you won't struggle. And all of us here know that, have experienced that in some way in life. But because God is on our side, brothers and sisters, we need not fear, because he will never, ever leave us. As Jesus promised to his disciples, a promise that is just as true for us. Words that many of us know. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. That's our mission as a church. But what does Jesus say at the end of that? Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. That's Jesus' promise. I am with you always. In Hebrews chapter 13, the author to the Hebrews says, God promises us this, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I remember learning to ride a bike a number of years ago, many, many years ago. And the person helping me to ride that bike was a friend, and I was on that bike and I was pedaling as hard as I could, and I kept saying, are you there? Are you there? Are you there? And I couldn't see them because I was facing forwards. But their reassurance was yes, even though I couldn't see them and sometimes I couldn't feel them because I was wobbling, they were always there to make sure I didn't fall. Brothers and sisters, when God feels like he is not close, know that that doesn't mean he isn't there with you, because his promise is yes, I am with you. But the psalmist also in our psalm ponders the what if. What would it look like if God wasn't with me? That brings us to our second point this morning, protection. We've looked at presence, now protection. Here we're looking at verses 2 through 5, if you're following along in your Bible, and the second half of verse 6 and 7. We're making our way into the centre. Now the events that are behind this, the psalm that caused the author to write the psalm, isn't known. The author doesn't, King David doesn't tell us. It's something that affected the whole nation of Israel. We know that because in verse 1 he says, let Israel now say, he's talking to his fellow countrymen and women. And then he gives us three vivid pictures of what would have happened if God was not with them as a people. The first is, if God was not with us, and when people rose up against us, then they would have swallowed us up alive. Boys and girls, this is a picture of a monster swallowing someone whole. The word here, swallowed us up alive, is a word that's used only one other time in the Old Testament. It's used in Numbers chapter 16 for Korah, Dathan and Abiram. Three men and their families who were swallowed up by the earth. If God wasn't on our side, we would have been swallowed whole, we would have been killed, we would have been destroyed. If God wasn't with us, second picture, then we would have been overwhelmed by the flood. Now, at this time of the year, if you go through some of the smaller rivers and creeks, they start to get a bit dry, and sometimes they even dry up totally, don't they? Well, that's a picture of what many rivers and creeks are most of the time in the land of Israel. But then you get a bit of rain or a rainstorm, and those rivers and creeks swell up and grow very, very quickly. And that's a picture that the psalmist says here. It would be like me, if God was not on my side, it would be like me standing in one of those riverbeds and all of a sudden the water starts to rise up. It rises up to a point, and then it comes over my head, and then it takes me away, take down the river. If God was not on my side, then I would have been overwhelmed. Maybe you felt overwhelmed this year, that the waters have gone over your head, that it is too much. Take heart. God's promise is that he will be with you. And then we have the third and final picture here. We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowlers. The snare is broken and we have escaped. If the Lord had not been on our side, we would have been trapped. Now, boys and girls, a fowler is someone who catches birds. He puts out a trap. Often that trap is hidden, and the bird comes along for a little bit of food, and it's snapped and caught in the trap. If God was not on our side, we would have been caught. We see here God's promise to help us, to protect us. We see here our help is in the name of the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Again, that does not mean that we do not go through trials and troubles in this life, but it does mean that our God saves us. And the greatest way that our God saves us, brothers and sisters, friends, is that God saves us from ourselves. He saves us from ourselves. He saves us from the ultimate death. He saves us from our sins. Because Jesus Christ willingly walked into the trap that was set for him. He willingly went to his death. He willingly hung on the cross. He willingly went to the grave. So that death can no longer catch us. So that death can no longer hold us. Because Christ placed his neck in the trap. Because he gave up his life, we can have eternal life. If God was not on our side, we would not have eternal life. We would not have his protection. We would not have the promise that he would never, ever let us go. What a beautiful picture the psalmist has. We've seen God's presence. God is on our side. We've moved into God's protection. And that brings us then to the center of the psalm and our final point this morning. And that point is simply praise. Simply praise. In verse 6, we have four simple words. Blessed be the Lord. That's the focus of the psalmist here. That's where he wants to go. And in fact, this whole psalm is really a praise to the Lord, to thank him for his care, his protection, the security that we have in him. Blessed be the Lord. It's here spoken as a strong wish or even a command. He's commanding Israel to praise the Lord, to bless him for what he's done. That's the therefore of the psalm. Because of what God has done, let's give him praise. And he doesn't do this alone. He calls all of his fellow believers, all of Israel, to come and praise with him. He reflects on what God has done for them and says, let us come and bring him praise. Let us bring him thanks. That fits in with why the psalm is called a song of ascents. You'll see that there at the top of 124. A song of ascents of David. This is part of a group of psalms, of songs that the people of Israel would sing to each other as they went up to the temple to worship. They would sing to each other, remind each other, what are the wonderful things God has done for us? How has God helped us? But maybe you're sitting here this morning, or maybe you're listening on live stream, and you say, well, actually, I don't think I need any help. I'm doing just fine. That's what the people on the Titanic thought too. The Titanic was unsinkable. They didn't realize the danger that they were in. The story is told of a joke that was made amongst the passengers when the Titanic shuddered to a halt and they'd heard that they had an iceberg. The joke was that they'd stopped the ship to allow some of the painters to go down on the side of the ship and paint over the scratch marks from the iceberg. If you try to do life on your own, if you think you're going to be fine without God, then what you are simply doing is rearranging the deck chairs on your Titanic. You cannot win on your own. You cannot have eternal life. You cannot be right with God without Jesus Christ. Don't try and do it on your own. You will fail. How has 2021 been for you? Is it a year that you'd rather forget? Is it a year that you've struggled, or has it been a good year? Regardless of whether it's been good or bad, or looking forward into 2021, can I encourage you this morning? Be encouraged. It is God who will carry you through. To close this morning by some of the most famous, reading through one of the most famous passages of Scripture, one of my favourite passages as well. I want you to stop and close your eyes. You're allowed to close your eyes during the sermon. Those who are ready can keep them closed. Listen carefully to these words that sum up what we've heard this morning. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Let's pray together. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, as we look on this past year, a year that some of us here this morning would love to forget. As we look forward to 2022, a year that many of us look forward to with apprehension, so much uncertainty. As we look forward to a year and look forward into the year, a year that will be full of many challenges, but also many joys. We pray as we do that, may we hold on to you. May we be reminded this morning that as we walk down that path, even as we walk down the valley of the shadow of death, we need not fear no evil, for you are with us. We thank you for your protection. We thank you for your presence. And we praise you this morning for the fact that you promise us you will never leave us or forsake us. Help us to remember that, and even more than that, when we are in those deep, dark times, Heavenly Father, bring these words of promise to our minds and our hearts. May we feel you near us. May we feel you carrying us. We pray this, resting and trusting in you, in the only name that can save us, the only name that can protect us. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's sing from another psalm now this morning, a psalm that reminds us of the fact that God is our King, something we've reflected on this Christmas time, but also a psalm that reminds us of his protection and care for us. Let's stand and sing number 145, I will exalt my God and King.